Well, folks, what is the crack? I hope you're well. It's Gareth McGlynn here, back with another episode of the Pre-Construction Podcast. Today's guest is a returning guest, and I wanted to get this guest back on to understand why. Why do what he is doing? It is none other than Steve Del Ordo, the CEO and founder of Concentric. Steve left the construction industry. He left after 26 years with Clark Construction. He actually started with Clark as an intern, worked his way up to executive officer, and was a big, big, big fundamental part in them going from $200 million to over $5 billion in revenue per year on the West Coast. Some of the standout projects are the Golden State Warriors Arena and development. He did the Salesforce Tower, and then he was involved in Facebook's San Francisco Park Tower. So amazing, amazing background. But he gave up all of that to start Concentric, and I want to understand why. I want to get into the details of what he experienced at Clark that made him really, really driven to change the pre-construction industry with a technology fitting for it. Concentric, it allows you to unify the entire pre-construction process. It gives you real-time, reliable data. So this is a great idea of Steve's thinking. So a big thank you for Steve coming on. As always, folks, you'll hear from our two sponsors. It'll be Steve again with Concentric and also Stuart Carroll with Beck Technology.
Stuck in spreadsheets? Tired of the endless loop of copying and pasting? Now imagine all your estimating workflows in one program. Beck Technology's innovative Destiny Estimator software streamlines the entire estimating process. With intuitive tools and powerful analytics, you can create accurate and reliable estimates quickly and easily. We understand the challenges pre-con teams face because we were born from construction. When you are ready to streamline your estimating effort, visit us at beck-technology.com and talk with a tech expert in a Destiny Estimator demo today.
Steve Del Ordo, welcome back to the Pre-Construction Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me again, Gareth. It's always great to talk with you on the podcast. You do a great job.
Well, you're the major sponsor between yourself and Beck Technology, so the platform is all yours.
Well, I appreciate it. This is always fun. Always
good,
fun.
I wanted to get a catch up, Steve, right? Because it's been a while since we caught up. We've got Advanced Pre-Construction coming up in May, which I'm going to catch up with you then as well. But for people that don't know, I want to touch on three things, right? I want to touch on Steve Del Ordo, the background, the history, the man, the myth on the West Coast. Then we want to touch on Concentric and where you're at right now. And then I want to talk about some of the pains that we're seeing within pre-construction and estimating right now that Concentric's going to help us with. So let's start. Tell me what the young, loads of hair intern was doing back in the 90s when he stepped into Clark as an intern. You were there for 36 years. What was it like?
26. Don't add 10 years to me, man.
What was it like come back and, as an intern? Because obviously Clark, big company, would have been well known on the West Coast, but not a massive player. What was it like?
Yeah, I started out on the East Coast and, you know, graduated from the University of Virginia, Go Hoos, and just really lucked into an internship. And this was in the early 90s when I had good close friends, fraternity brothers that were literally getting rejected by the dozens. I mean, it was hard to get a job back then. And I just lucked into an internship that turned into a full-time job. Basically never interviewed, just interned, worked hard, and they, you know, converted me to a full-time employee actually before I graduated. So I was doing double duty my senior year, but it was incredible experience. I believe internships are just an incredible way for somebody to start their career and really do a little bit of, you know, live research, if you will, if it's an industry or career path that they could be interested in, before they make that ultimate, you know, commitment even with declaring a major. So anyway, internship was fantastic. You know, really came in on the operations side, which was, you know, still very common to this day. But back then, pre-con wasn't as big of a thing as it has grown, as it's growing to be today. Everything was more or less hard bid. You just didn't have that sort of, you just had a pure estimating, you know, department, if you will, just cranking estimates and turning in bids. But I was actively involved in any bid I could get involved in, even from day one. But I was a project manager, came up through the project manager, you know, superintendent on certain jobs. And then ultimately, as an operational oriented executive, you know, grew to take on multiple projects and responsibilities for parts of the business, not just focused on projects. But along the way, I always saw the, whether it was bidding or certainly this growing pre-construction phase, both fascinating, but I also recognized it as, wait, this is where the table is set. You know, how thorough you go about it, the quality of the subcontractors that are brought on board, the relationship with the client, the real deep understanding of the design and, you know, the journey of how you arrived at whatever that final design represents and includes. So I was always inserting myself and ultimately became kind of one of these cradle to grave operators that just wanted to, you know, if you're going to, it's like sleeping in the bed that you make. And I wanted to make sure that I was, if I was going to live in it, I wanted to be the one who set it, for better or for worse. But the good news was it all, pretty much all of them were for the better. And I enjoyed it, learned a lot about the business, not just on the execution side, but the front end of the business. And just as my career grew, there was just more and more focus on that. Timing was great because there's been this growing demand for more and more pre-construction involvement, process, and all of that, and, you know, risk. And just really mastering that along the way enabled me to then become, you know, responsible for big piece of the company's P&L, you know, running the Western division. So, that was my career journey. Started as an intern, but even before that, I was always doing summer jobs, even in high school, hanging drywall, working for a woodwork millwork shop, building high end cabinetry for law firms. You know, most of these were my sports coaches, wrestling, lacrosse, whatever. And they had a friend or a brother that ran a construction company and they were just trying to get cheap labor, but whatever, I took it. It was great.
and Steve, you're 100% right. That I've got a client, right? I'll not name his name. He's VP of pre-construction. He will not, one of the prerequisites he asked me for is this person has got to do summer, has completed summer jobs within the construction industry, either a trade or labor, and then an internship. And he's 100% right. If you've been there, you've done the shitty jobs, you've got to do those jobs to really understand the real high-level jobs.
Well, and you gain a respect for the foreman and the true craft professionals that, you know, whether you're a plumber or a carpenter or, you know, an excavator operator, doesn't matter. The respect of what those people can do and make happen, and how do you both manage the project, but do it in a very respectful way. You know, I think it's the respect of the craft labor, and that's what gets these projects done. And I just took that, you know, through my whole career. And, you know, ultimately that led me to also recognize that as pre-construction has become more and more important with the advent of more and more collaborative deliveries to get away from that hard bid work, the recognition and the respect for what the pre-construction professionals, the designers, you know, the owner, you know, I think it's underrepresented. I think it's greatly underappreciated in terms of the value of this phase of the project. We get really hung up on, as GCs at least, the construction phase. You know, the concrete is pouring, the steel is swinging, it's tangible, it's all of that. And I think, you know, statistically, out of 10 people I would hire, 9 of them were going down that PM career path, and only one of the 10 would ultimately, you know, want to, or, you know, be encouraged to go through the front end path, be it pre-con estimating or procurement, depending how you're set up. But I just, what a disservice. And it's where the true value of a construction company, your profitability, the risk that you're taking on, the client relationship, your reputation in the marketplace, the relationship and network that you have within the design community, that's where all of that is really formulated. And the front end people are the first people that are engaged, and they really set the tone, the profitability. And, you know, I can say this as an operations, ex-operations guy, you know, I always wanted to get t-shirts made up that really said, you know, hey, the front end is where it's at. And, you know, operationally, it's only downhill from there. Because that's true. You set the deal, and then, you know, that's the deal you're living, and you fight every day just not to lose it. There's very little opportunity to enhance your margin in the, you know, the, during the construction of the project. Nobody makes money off of change orders or anything like that. So it's like, you just want to deliver that and prevent, you know, fee erosion. But in the front end, you know, that's where you can really differentiate yourself and set the value of the service you're providing. And, you know, with the more focus on that, the front end and how you approach it, I ultimately increased our margins by 44% over the span of 3 years with this, you know, hyper focus on pre-con, because owners are dying for certainty of outcome. They're dying for somebody to exert leadership and guide this process to where it's a very nice, smooth glide path. And, you know, the smart owners, they don't mind paying a modest premium just on the fee of service for the GC, if they know it's going to save them, you know, many times that on the total cost of the project, you know, the completed project, the 3 to 5 years that you're married together, both pre-con and construction, you know, it's a, you know, just in the fee differential, it's a small amount to pay up front if you know you're going to make up for that tenfold on the back end. It's a no-brainer, and that's the value proposition that we became very successful with.
I mean, 44%. I can hear it now. I can hear the VPs, the directors, the CEOs, the presidents listening to this podcast go 45%. That is incredible. It's unheard of, and it's 45% on. It's not on small projects or tenant fit out. We're talking about Chase Center, Golden State, the Salesforce Tower. These are projects that you were involved in, and you basically changed the narrative from thinking operations to thinking pre-con, where the single biggest decisions are made. Saving that on those projects and coming towards the end of your career with Clark and having those great projects and the great experience, tell us now how you thought, you know what, I'm going to take all that experience, the operational experience, the savings, the technology that I've used, the learnings that I used, and how did you integrate that into Concentric? Because I know we did a podcast previously, but for anybody that doesn't know Concentric, what it's all about, and what you used from your past to create Concentric.
Yeah. So with the experience that I had and the observations through countless meetings on countless projects with countless teams, it became clear to me that this was an industry problem, and it needed to be solved at an industry scale, not a singular company, big or small. You know, these were patterns I saw in, you know, contracts that were a couple $100,000 all the way to the handful of billion-dollar plus projects that I had under my leadership. So common problem. You could also see at a macro level that, yeah, as the need for pre-con, these increased, you know, numbers of collaborative deliveries, I think FMI has forecasted that right around this time, the middle of this decade, is when 85% of all projects would be done with some form of collaborative delivery, which is a massive pendulum swing from where it was when my career started. But ultimately, the industry had not reacted, still hasn't, to develop the system or the established systems and tools and even technology to support a more collaborative delivery process and all of the unique needs and tools and things you go through in pre-con, because a lot of people from the outside just think pre-con is, you know, you're just doing an estimate, and nothing could be further from the truth. There are so many other things people in pre-con, whether you're the pre-con manager, whether you're the VP of pre-con, whether you're the chief estimator, just envision 30 to 40 plates, and you're spinning these plates on one project, and you probably have anywhere from 5 to 10 at any given time that are live. So, you know, you got your feet, you got your hands, you got everything you can possibly do to keep these plates spinning. And it's all manual, it's all analog, but for a couple of, you know, one or two of those plates might actually have one piece of software that is solely designed to do that. The rest of it is largely ad hoc Excel spreadsheets, or it's a critical workflow that ought to be addressed, but isn't, because everybody's spending all of their time just doing non-value add work, and it's just burning up their bandwidth and their time that they can't get to those other things that are critical in the planning to ensure the success of the project. So, big problem. And I just said, you know, I understand this. And pre-con is one of those things that, you know, you could graduate college and you could do a 2-year stint and shuck submittals and do RFIs and have a pretty good grasp of construction phase processes. But, you know, you've got to be in pre-con and living it and breathing it and touching all of that and being responsible for it before you really understand it and get it. And that takes a decade and a half. I don't think I truly mastered it until I was like 15 years into it, quite honestly. And so that's probably why we don't have something like we have for the construction phase, these project management platforms that have stitched together, you know, in one place. You know, here's a digital version of the RFI process and a digital version to manage submittals. We don't have that in pre-con. And I thought, what a travesty, what a shame that the PMs have this great tool, but the pre-con folks that are breaking their neck, you know, setting the table for success and doing their level best, they don't even have their own data at their fingertips. You know, their data is not in a database, it's in a data dumpster. It's not structured data, it's PDFs, it's Excel, you know, it's numbers in a cell within Excel. You can't do anything with that as a company. So I just said, you know what, we're going to change this. I'm going to change this. And I started up a software company to just basically, but from the bottoms up, digitize the best of the best practices for each one of those plates that these, you know, everybody's spinning. And then over time, you're accumulating and tying all that together. But it's not enough to just do one, grab one, I'm going to build something, grab another one. It's a fine, fine balance to grab one and then grab one, the next one that's adjacent, that sequentially you're really helping this data, the value of the data, the what you can do to put the data to work for you. And you really have to know pre-con to understand those adjacencies, the data flow. You know, pre-con is very iterative and fractured in the way it's done. And how do you unify all of that, both the data, the best practices, so that they can actually talk to each other and complement each other in this digital form? And then how, you know, most importantly, how do you unite the people in a much more collaborative environment with, as a single source of truth, you can come into a holistic platform that's addressing all of the needs in one place in an open format. We're going to build, and we continue to build, anything that isn't represented by a best in class piece of software. There's very few of those, but where there are, we interface with it, we integrate. We're not looking to build stuff that already exists in a formal state. We'd just rather integrate it and make this super easy and seamless for our customers.
It's funny because I look now at what you did at Clark towards the end. You mentioned there in that kind of overview, the 15 years in, it kind of the penny dropped, and you were able to, let's call it, you mentioned there about spinning plates, let's call it 12 spinning plates. You were able to do that within Clark and build a revenue to 2 billion, and that was from 600 million. I mean, that you probably couldn't have done that without getting those 12 plates within pre-construction, the processes set, the collaboration, the talking to each other. So basically, you are a builder that has achieved exactly that, exactly what every other builder wants to do now is increase capacity and increase bandwidth. And you've just put it into a technology, you've put it all together, and you're going to hand this technology to builders.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just for the builders too. The long range vision is a real project first focus because, this is a project is successful and is at its best when everybody's together as a partner in a partnership. And so if we can be the hub to support what the GC's doing to bring to the table as a service to the owner, but a lot of that data is, the majority of it is actually project specific. It's not proprietary to one of the stakeholders, and it ought to be shared because it's that same data that populates and helps the owner manage the pro forma and their own objectives and the development of that asset. Likewise, the designer, yeah, the designer is designing and they've got best in class design software. But the management of the process, the review of the design, the tracking of issues, those sorts of things, not represented by anything at all. So, huge opportunity to help them in the same vein that we help the builder, and then the owner and the designer all have purpose-built tools for them, all in the same common environment, drawing from a common pool of data and information that is current to the second. Without anybody having to search for it or manually update or scrub it. I mean, it's just right there. I mean, that is the ideal, efficient, collaborative, sharing model that will just make projects even more affordable. I mean, there is a tremendous amount of cost waste built into the estimates of the cost of a project, and you have to. The data right now is not available, is not precise enough, and that everybody involved, particularly the builders, taking enormous risk, betting their company, their reputation on a given number. And if you miss something, that comes out of your hide. So naturally, everybody needs to create contingencies and go with round numbers because they just don't have that precision at their fingertips. And what I just see is this swell of the cost within a pro forma, and there's this magic tipping point. And once you cross that tipping point, what was a go becomes a no-go. And I think there's at least 15% overall. If you just look at the entire cost stack of a project, there's at least 15% that could be attributed to unnecessary contingencies, layers of fat, rounded numbers, all of that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking there, Steve, now, just from what you've gone through, there's two things jump out at me. I'm thinking about my network now, the pre-con managers and the estimators. I'm just thinking they reduce their risk. They get to do the high-end, high-touch stuff that they're paid to do. The not the meaningless, but the day-to-day stuff that just eats up, that their time is gone. But then on the other side, from an owner's perspective, to be able to get this information pretty much live is must be like a breath of fresh air. I mean, what's the feedback like from the general contractor? Surely their feedback from them owners is magical.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of that. And the great thing is we've getting it in a few different ways. We're getting just the quotes from the owner as they engage with the platform for the first time. One of our customers, super excited, came back and like the owner said, this is, they were so impressed and it was a reflection on their company. You are the first contractor to ever bring something like this to the table that provides me this sort of insight in a graphical way that I can understand. And you guys are so prepared. The information is just right there. We don't have to wait. We can make decisions. it's easy to use because they themselves have access and they can navigate and get all the information that they need out of the platform as well. So they got major kudos. And, you know, they passed that on because they were pointing to Concentric. And by the way, you know, that helped them through a very, very challenging GMP process where they had to document a lot of the things that they were having to adjust in the design to get to a given budget. And so that was, you know, a great thing to hear, great validation. But metrically speaking, we have well over a dozen now examples of where our customers are, you know, utilizing Concentric as they compete for projects. So that process, the solicitation, RFQ, RFP, interview, short list along the way, selection, at different points in time, they are highlighting and answering the question, you know, tell us, you know, how do you do pre-construction? How are you going to serve the project? The owner's asking, how are you giving me certainty of outcome? Or how are you going to include me and how are we going to collaborate? I saw that in my time at Clark, the pre-con being more and more of this evaluated set, which was a trend that told me owners are needing and dying and valuing a partner that can come in and really help them through this process, you know, in a positive, collaborative way. And so we are, I think we're like 13 of 14 now where customers have been showcasing Concentric as part of what they do in pre-con with their talent and everything, and they've won the job. And through the interview and time spent on questions or formal debriefs, you know, it's been coming back to us that Concentric played a role in helping them stand out from the crowd and win that project. And we're seeing that over and over and over again, which is validating. I knew that to be true. If you go to compete for a project, construction has been somewhat commoditized. Everybody's got a superintendent. Everybody's got a PM. They got the resumes. They've built that type of project a few times before. Okay, hard to differentiate yourself. You know, it becomes a game of like millimeters. Pre-con, wide open. The former vice chancellor of real estate at UCSD had told me like that same thing. You know, all the four or five major guys that compete for our work, check. Nobody can come in and talk about pre-con or design management or anything with anything authentic or something tangible they can point to. And Concentric is that thing. So it's one of the value propositions right out of the gate that Concentric provides to our customers, in addition to helping them on their own journey to really start to modernize their pre-construction process, get command of their data in a very structured, sophisticated way so that their own data can really start to be put to work for their benefit. You know, driving the risk out of the projects, you know, the risk factor on these projects is huge for all parties. And there's risk to the individual stakeholders for the scope or responsibilities they have, but then there's just the broader project risk. And so people think of estimating a pre-con and they only just think about quantifying material and putting a price on it, adding it all up, and there's your cost, you know, job done. No, you got to be looking outside of the proverbial construction fence. What are the risks that threaten the success of the project? These are high level labor, tariffs. I mean, you name it, there's a lot of stuff out there. And if teams are proactive about identifying those early and then systematically addressing those in pre-con, you de-risk the project, as I call it. You're driving those risks out for everybody. And that's just going to make a more profitable project for the builder. It's going to enhance the ROI for the owner and for the designer. You know, the design won't be victimized because when you don't address these risks, you have to throw money at it. When you throw money at it, you just got to start sacrificing things, and the design is going to get carved up in that process. So risk is a big factor that we help with. And if you do that right, not only are you winning the work at a greater win rate, you reputationally have enhanced yourself to be more sought after and how you otherwise win and differentiate yourself. But ultimately, driving the risk out of the job means you're really limiting the downside And if you can eliminate the downside, you have more opportunity to increase your margins, whether it's saving splits or just, you know, reducing fee erosion that is all too common in our industry. And you can also enhance your margins because there's, you know, other opportunities present themselves to, you know, provide a given service for a given return and taking risk and whatnot. So you can even enhance your fee on top of also reducing potential fee erosion in other areas. So the value proposition of what Concentric provides as a platform addressing all aspects of pre-con and bringing that all together is enormous. It's enormous.
It's amazing when you talk about it like that. I see it the same on the staffing side. So the pre-construction managers, the estimators that reach out to me, some of the things that are at the forefront of their mind that they ask me about clients, one, are they a pre-construction services focused company is the first. What technology do they use? Because some of the mid-level, I'm talking about 200 million, 300 million GCs that are bringing architecture inside, in-house, doing design build projects, and really focus on the pre-construction services. Then you plug something like Concentric in. I mean, that's like heaven for a senior estimator. You know what I mean? The senior estimators or pre-con managers are so focused now on using technology to enhance their job, to make their job a little bit easier. And it would be near on impossible to go back to a GC using Excel.
Well, that's, you know, that's from the employee perspective, which is huge. You know, the younger generation, they come in and they say, oh, your whole thing is on Excel. That's like yesterday's clipboard. I mean, that is an antiquity. You know, they're expecting something. I mean, they've all grown up with iPhones and, you know, more advanced tech at their fingertips. And, you know, to stitch together a bunch of stuff in Excel, you know, they're like, you're crazy. So from a recruiting and retention perspective of the younger generations is huge. But you also think of from the company perspective, we've been going through a lot of these ROI case studies with our customers, because after enough usage, they're starting to take measure of the efficiencies gained by, you know, more sophisticated, you know, processes that don't require nearly as much manual work. And it's astounding. You know, I ran my own, you know, guesstimate on what these efficiencies are, you know, almost by task in pre-com. And then, you know, we get our customers that just focus on one. And when we actually run the math together, and anybody listening, I would challenge you, think about a given task. Let's just say it's historical comps. You don't have a system that can automatically produce those for you, but you have a project today that you're working, and naturally your boss or the owner wants to know, all right, I get your estimate of what you think it's worth. How does that compare to your other projects? You know, this is no different than when you go buy a house. Nobody's just writing a check for a house without having the comps of what was sold in the last 6 months on a cost per gross square foot. You need that assurance. So when they have to go do that, they go to what I call the data dumpster, which, you know, no structure. It's hard to sift through it all because that's how organized it is, like a dumpster. And you don't even know if you're looking for the right projects. But let's say you spent the time and you found three. Okay, the next step is now you got somebody else's work and you're going to have to clean that up a little bit to make sense of it. So you're going to spend some time there. Then you're going to figure out with a factoring of what you want to do in terms of escalating the dollars from 5 years ago to today to be apples to apples with your current project. Maybe it's in a different city or cost of living area, so you also have to normalize for geography. Not to mention the fact that this is going to be something you're going to present to your client, so it actually has to be organized and boiled down to really represent, you know, clarity and professionalism. You go through each of those stages, half hour here, 1 hour there. It all adds up. Now, that's one person, one project. Do that with however many other people on your team that have to go through that, and then just say, all right, in a given week or a given month, I'm probably having to do that 5 times, 10 times, whatever, at a given rate, you know, whether it's, you know, pick your rate, but apply it to those people hours, multiply that by 12, and you're going to be absolutely shocked with how much is being spent on non-productive wasted time that if you could eliminate that by automating it or leveraging a platform that can do it for you in a nanosecond, not only are you saving that money, but you're gaining those hours back. And if you can accumulate these hours back, you're repurposing those hours, you can expand the bandwidth of what your given team can do without even having to hire anybody. And sorry, Gareth, I know this is going to be putting a hit in me,
but
it's a force multiplier. And, you know, we went through that one exercise on generating historical comps. And in this case, it added up to $150,000 for a mid-sized company, just money, like just flying right out the window for people to do all of this manual task work, as opposed to spending time with their client or doing pre-con for one other project and increasing your bandwidth. I mean, the cost of whatever spend on technology pays for itself many times over, but everybody has to kind of lift their head up and do this math and really think about it and say, you know what, over time, maybe not overnight, but we can winnow that down to zero. And you can through technology.
Absolutely. I love it, Steve. Listen, we're coming up. I want to mention something before we go. You've got a humongous stand at Advance and Pre-Construction in Denver. So I'll be there. The Pre-Construction podcast is coming. We will all, anybody going to Advancing, make sure to call by the booth. Is there any other exciting news that you're launching at AP?
Well, you know, we've got, we continuously roll out more modules that address all the plates that we spin, right? So this platform grows literally by the week, by the month. It's so exciting. So what I would encourage everybody to do is just get in touch with us. You know, just spend a little bit of time with us. We can walk you through the platform. We can exchange ideas. Gareth, we'll see each other in May. Hopefully anybody listening to this will be attending Advancing Precon. But don't wait until May. Let's talk. Come to our website. Get a hold of us at concentric.com, concntric. Book a demo. We'll have a great exchange. Love to talk to you myself. Our whole team, you know, stands ready. So looking forward to having you part of Concentric and us be a part of your journey to modernize your pre-construction efforts. So, Gareth, thanks for having me. And we'll see each other in May, but between now and then, everybody, don't wait. Just get a hold of us now, and we'll be doing a happy hour and having a good time at Advancing Precon, but there's a lot of work that we can get done between now and then, too. So look forward to talking to you.
The Pre-Construction Podcast will definitely be at the happy hour, let me tell you that. That email address, that URL, book a demo, it will be in the show notes. It'll be easily accessible. So anybody interested, get straight down there and book yourself a demo. Steve, it's a pleasure as always.
Thanks for the support, Gareth.
Hi, I'm Steve DeLordo, founder and CEO of Concentric, the first holistic platform for pre-construction. As a former executive officer of one of the largest general contractors in the U.S., I have experienced firsthand the challenges the industry is facing, particularly in pre-construction. Pre-construction is still a highly manual and fractured collection of processes. Essential information is kept in ad hoc, scattered spreadsheets and documents, which really limits the understanding and hides the full picture of a project for all those involved. Concentric is here to change that. Our 360-degree platform unites data, workflows, and people. With Concentric, you and your team can access real-time insights and data, assess and mitigate risk to ensure a successful project outcome, and most importantly, unlock the enormous capacity of your talent and your data. To learn more about Concentric and to book a demo, head to our website, concentric.com. That's spelled concntric.com. Concentric, it's pre-construction recalibrated for the modern builder.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that. If you're going to Advance in Pre-Construction, hook up with myself and Steve. I will be going and attending, and the Pre-Construction Podcast will be attending his happy hour. I will put the details below. Looking forward to seeing you there. And as always, folks, a huge thank you from me and the Pre-Construction Podcast team for all your support.